Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Reading now from Politico.com, special counsel Jack Smith will not get a chance to bring his best criminal case against Donald Trump to trial before the 2024 election. And if Trump wins, Smith will probably never get that chance. But on Wednesday, the public got its most complete look at the evidence that Smith has amassed to try to prove that the former president orchestrated criminal conspiracies as he sought to overturn his loss 4 years ago. Here to help us understand this is David Schultz, professor of political science at Hemline University. Professor, good afternoon. Thanks for making time today.
And thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. I know you got to run off to teach some of your students in a little bit. So when we get close, you let me know and we'll get you out of here gracefully. So, Professor, let's kind of begin with the broader concept here about this presidential immunity ruling that we got. Jack Smith is now saying in this report that Trump is not immune from these charges because none of this was official acts. And the Supreme Court had said if the president is engaged in an official act in a way that seems to be illegal, too bad. If it was an official act of the president, they can't be held responsible for that, even if it seems to have broken the law in some other way. But Jack Smith has now laid out a strong case that none of this is an official act. These were actions that Donald Trump took as a private citizen. Do you think that that will stick, or will the courts find some other way to let him off the hook here?
Well, first off, I think you correctly described what the Supreme Court said back end of June, where the court said, let's think about presidents when they act. If they're acting when they're in their official capacity, their core functions, they have or enjoy absolute immunity from criminal prosecution. If it's within an area that is possibly official, then there's still a presumption of immunity that can be rebutted. And then there's things that fall completely outside of official presidential acts here. What the court did back in June is to say, listen, based upon what we see right now, this all looks like it might be within official presidential activity. threw it back to the lower court. So Jack Smith comes back now and says that, listen, I've got a lot of evidence, private evidence here, that suggests that Trump was acting not in his capacity as president, but in his capacity as a private citizen, or let's say as a candidate for president. Mm-hmm. And as a candidate for president, he would be no different than anybody else running for president of the United States. And he tries to argue first that as a candidate for president, I can show that he's not acting as presidential capacity. The people he conferred with were private attorneys. They were his own private counsel. These were people he was interacting with, advisors who also were not part of the government. And so he's making that argument in a lot of words. Then he's also saying that, listen, even if in some cases the court thinks that he might have been acting as an official capacity, we have enough evidence to counteract that. So it's a pretty powerful motion, pretty powerful set of facts here. Certainly, still not everything is laid out, but what this is going to do is make it difficult for a lower court at this point, if it were to go any further, for a lower court to say, ah, we're just dismissing this based upon the Trump versus United States case. It gets them beyond in the door. It gets them, if I can use a metaphor, it gets them in the room for some legal arguments.
Excellent. Okay, so I know that you have already read the 165-page report. A lot of folks are doing kind of like, roundups, like, the most 11 most damning details or the top five revelations from the 165-page report. Professor, what was your kind of top-line reaction as you were going through the report? Was there anything that stood out to you more than something else, something shocking, something unexplainable, something you didn't know before?
Well, I think what stands out the most here is the fact that there were several instances, again, assuming all the allegations are true here, obviously, there are several indications in here where Trump's immediate advisors, both on his campaign and in his governmental and government officials, that said to him repeatedly, and you're also talking about governors in places like Georgia, who said to them, there's no evidence of fraud. No evidence of fraud. You lost. You lost because you didn't get enough votes from women, or you lost because of you didn't outperform other Republicans, et cetera, et cetera. And he's told this repeatedly. And nonetheless, he still says, well, we still have to fight. We still have to challenge this. And that's the part that I think is really interesting here, is that if all the allegations are true, he knows well before January 6th, well before even when the Electoral College meets to vote, and even on election day, he's got people telling him, listen, you're ahead today, but when all the votes come in, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, that really speaks to his state of mind of what he actually knew. And it wasn't just simply him saying, listen, I'm not sure if I've won, I'm going to fight like heck. What they're arguing, saying he knew. And despite the fact that he knew, he engaged in activities that he knew were going to be potentially damaging or riotous.
I'm glad you mentioned his state of mind, because that I think the prosecution's ability to prove intent here is tantamount. How significant do you view that in a case like this one?
Well, in any criminal case, just to remind listeners here, you have to prove two things. You have to prove that somebody did something, like, for example, picked up a gun and shot somebody, but then you also have to prove they did it with a requisite or an appropriate type of intent.
Right.
And so, for example, if you attacked me with a gun and I shot you and killed you, I could say, yeah, my intent was not murder. My intent was to defend myself, and that's a good defense. On the other hand, if I just see you walking down the street and I say, well, gosh, I don't like you, and I'm going to single you out and shoot you, that's a different story entirely. So knowing your state of mind is important, and showing state of mind here is critical, because they're showing here allegedly showing here the president knew what he was doing was potentially, well, not just potentially, but arguments here, knew that he had lost, and two, he was aware of possibly trying to encourage action that would be leading up to, including the riot on the day that occurred. And I think maybe one of the other damaging things I thought was interesting here is that on January 6th, when people are telling him, for example, that Pence is in danger, all these things are happening, allegedly Trump comes back and says, well, so what do I care?
So what?
Yeah, so what?
Literally said, so what? Yeah.
Yeah, so what? And if that's true, saying so what, that your own vice president is potentially in danger, that's, again, that's pretty incriminating if all this is true.
Yeah, I think we forget about that. People like to quibble about what was in the speech at the Ellipse. You know, we got to go up there and protest peacefully. Okay, set all that aside for a minute. While the riot is happening, Donald Trump is still tweeting that Mike Pence didn't have the courage to intervene and refuse to certify the election. I don't know, just one of those things that, you know, is really important to the whole story, but we sometimes forget.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
I was going to say,
you're absolutely right, because remember, he's still president. I think one of his duties is to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That's in the Constitution. And if people are storming the Capitol, again, Jack Smith is arguing this, that part of the duty of the president of the United States is protect the Capitol, protect government property.
Yeah, so let's talk about that then. Trump's, you know, taking no action as the Capitol is being attacked. And whether or not you believe that Trump was responsible for the attack in the first place, isn't it dereliction of duty for him to do nothing while it's happening?
And I think that's exactly what Smith is arguing here, too, is that he's going to say, yeah, Trump clearly was trying to overturn the election, clearly was trying to persuade or influence Congress in terms of what it was doing or obstruct Congress's performance. But part of what he also alleges to say that, listen, at this critical point when a riot is occurring and when the Capitol is being stormed, people are being hurt at this point. And we have stories of Capitol guards and so forth being hurt. He's sitting there, and I don't want to use the phrase, but I will use it here. Remember that old phrase, Nero fiddles while Rome burns?
Of course.
There's almost a sense when I was waiting for Jack Smith to quote that and say something like that along the line here. But that's essentially what he's alleging here, is saying the Capitol is on fire or the Capitol is being stormed. The president's responsible to do something, and he's just sending out tweets complaining about Pence not doing his job. If all this is accurate, again, this is pretty damning and pretty incriminating in terms of, I think at one point Smith uses the phrase, kind of a deliberate indifference or a willful indifference to what was going on.
Yeah, everyone, you know, we got dereliction of duty at the border, and we got dereliction of duty at Department of Land and Home Security. We're going to impeach these people. We're going to prosecute them. If this isn't dereliction of duty, I don't know what is. Trump also said on Marine One, apparently, Smith alleges, it doesn't matter if you won or lost the election. You still have to fight like hell. And Professor, I wonder what a comment like that, what a mindset like that does to challenge the bedrock principles of election integrity in our democracy. I mean, a person with that mindset, it doesn't matter if you won or lost, you have to fight like hell. I mean, if that's just something you said in, as a passing comment, okay, but we can see that he actually did fight like hell. How does that challenge the principles of our democracy?
Well, it does, because you think about one of the most important principles of American democracy that really goes back to the beginning of our republic is the idea that when losers lose, they say, congratulations to the winner, good luck, and I hope I get you in 4 years.
Right.
And what we mean by that is, you've won fair and square, I'm going to run like hell against you, and I hope to beat you in 4 years. It's about being the phrase that many of us learned about, being the gracious loser. And even though nothing is written in the books that say you have to be a gracious loser, or you can't be, you basically can't whine in situations like this, that's an unwritten rule of democracy. That's an unwritten rule that says you respect election returns. You respect the process. And we want to hope this is what separates us from what we used to call, you know, the banana republics, you know, that the places right. where an election would occur. And then somebody would say, well, I don't like what's happening here, and I'm just going to do a coup or something like that. That is the hallmark of democracy. Respect for, again, the unwritten norms mm-hmm. of being a gracious loser.
The brief, let's see. Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that tweet. So he's alone in the Oval Office completely by himself when he sends out that tweet about Mike Pence not having the courage to refuse to certify the election. And we know this because people told Jack Smith that he was alone at that time. Mm-hmm. But also they have done forensic analysis of his phone. And I'm curious if you have any idea how they did that. Like, whose phone is this? Is this Donald Trump's private phone? Is this a phone that's assigned to him by White House staff? How do they do a forensic analysis of the former president's phone?
Well, first off, I think it is his private phone he was using. This is a problem that went all the way back, for example, to Barack Obama, that Obama had a BlackBerry at this point. He wanted to keep it.
Right.
And the Secret Service said, oh, no, you're not going to do that. It's going to be too easy for somebody to track you down as president. But my understanding is that Trump kept, and I may be wrong, but kept his own private phone. And what people don't realize is how easy it is to figure out what you're doing on your phone, even if they don't have possession of it. I went to a training session once and found out that even if your phone is turned off, they can figure out where you are. If you make a phone call, they can figure out off of what side of the tower that, the big towers, you know, cell phone towers, where you pinged it, et cetera, et cetera. So it does not surprise me. Although I don't know all the technology on this, it doesn't surprise me that they could do remote forensic analysis. I mean, this is a whole different story for a different day about how much the government can actually figure out what's going on.
Wow. Man, that's nuts.
I know.
Too many secrets. Okay, I did want to talk also about this comment from an unidentified Trump campaign employee, reading again from Politico. The employee, whom prosecutors describe as a co-conspirator, sought to create chaos at a polling center in Detroit when it became clear that a batch of election returns favorable to Joe Biden was legitimate. This person said, find a reason it isn't legitimate.
Yep.
And when the colleague said an outbreak of violence appeared imminent, the campaign employee replied, make them riot and do it. So again, we don't know because it's not revealed in the report who that employee is. My guess is it's John Eastman or Kenneth Cheesebro. They seem to fit the profile. But from a legal perspective, where does free speech end and criminal liability begin in a situation like this?
Well, the general standard is to say that if you're advocating imminent lawlessness and that lawlessness is imminent. You know, that's the actual Supreme Court, you know, line on that one. That's when speech ends and, let's say, true threats or something else kicks in at this point. And at this point, with that statement here, it's becoming clear to them that they're not just making this, again, if Jack Smith is correct here, they're not just simply saying, you know, let the heavens do what they want to do, or let the chips fall where they may. They seem to be saying, yeah, we know that this is not, these are not stolen ballots. These are not fraudulent ballots. There's nothing illegal going on here. And yeah, we're going to make mischief for the, and we're cognizant. We're aware that this is going to cause a riot. I mean, if it's not, if it hasn't crossed the edge from free speech to non-free speech, it certainly is at the razor's edge of that line between the two.
Just a few more minutes left, Professor, here. I'll give you two more. There's also a section in here where Jack Smith is asserting that Trump and his allies just straight up fabricated voter fraud statistics. It's not like they got a report that maybe wasn't verified and they went ahead and ran with it anyway. No, they just sat around and literally just invented a number of voter fraud statistics about, oh, this many illegal aliens voted or this many ballots were thrown out or whatever. So and Jack Smith believes he can prove that, otherwise it wouldn't be in here. So what legal and ethical issues arise from that kind of spreading of disinformation? Could that lead to changes in how misinformation or disinformation is regulated in political campaigns?
Well, two things. First, we already know that some of that misinformation has led to Rudy Giuliani being disbarred.
Right.
You know, that there's a famous line, not in this document, in a previous one, where he said something like, well, we have theories, we just don't have any facts, you know, regarding, you know, voter fraud. And so he manufactures a bunch of these allegations, including, I'm forgetting what was it now, that famous scene where he shows up at a landscaping place. You remember that now? They were going to book a place, and it turned out to be a landscaping
Four place. Seasons Everyone thought it was the hotel.
That's right. So he's already been disbarred for it. So for attorneys, him and Eastman, the consequences are pretty significant. This is an interesting question now regarding will it lead to changes in the law? Again, a whole different subject here. One of the things I'm going to be talking about in class today is California had just passed a law banning deep fakes, you know, in politics, and a district court just struck that down as unconstitutional on free speech grounds. And so we're now starting to get into really sort of the, you know, the, what is it, the twilight zone of the First Amendment, where we've got people who are making claims that are turning out to be false. Let's say they know they're false. Should they be protected under the First Amendment? And under current doctrine, lies are generally protected. But there's a lot of people out there pushing back and saying that maybe there is no First Amendment free speech right to lie. And I think this is going to be one of the big issues that we're going to see emerging this year, as has already happened, and going into the future. Do we want to rethink the current lines, how the law is drawn about truth versus lies?
Fascinating and frightening. Last question here. My guest is Professor David Schultz from Hamline University. The report doesn't have as many redactions as some people might have expected, but there's not a not insignificant amount of redactions in there. Just if you wanted to just kind of offer a guess or any insight about what might be in those redactions and why it's redacted.
Well, some of it's going to be other witnesses. We can make some guesses. You're right. Cheeseborough, Eastman, Giuliani. But I suspect there are other witnesses in there. They don't want to disclose who they are at this point for fear of witness tampering and also for fear that if they were to disclose and say person number six is John Doe, whoever, a real John Doe, a real name like that, I think they're afraid these people are going to get death threats. And that's, and unfortunately, that's a legitimate concern in our society now, is that especially situations like this, that you start to list all the witnesses, they're going to face possible retribution and death threats.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want our audience to know before we let you go, Professor?
I think this is potentially, but I'm not sure, the last, for now, unknown or October surprise before the election. And I say potentially because still other things can happen here. Now, whether or not this is going to change the trajectory of the campaign, I doubt it. I mean, we've been frozen in our polls. We've been frozen in our views on first it was Biden versus Trump and now Harris versus Trump for months. At the end of the day, this is, I almost read this as a historical document. And what I mean by that is that it's going to go, if Trump wins, it's going to go in the history books or disappear from it. If he loses, who knows what's going to happen. But in some sense, it was Jack Smith sort of saying, I've got to tell the story no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Great. David Schultz is a professor of political science at Hamline University. Really nice speaking with you. And again, thanks for being available today. Thanks for your time, your work, and your way. Have a great one.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. And thanks to the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Goodbye. We'll talk again, Professor. And we will step away and come back with more of you, your calls, your texts. I don't have another scheduled interview until about 3:30. So there's plenty of time for us to talk about this 165-page report. I'll go over some of the details that I didn't quite get to in my conversation with Professor Schultz. But if you want to react to anything you just heard from either myself or the professor, give me a call. I'll talk to anybody about anything. It's 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot, and I'll be right back after this.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.